from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones, each and every one covered like a blanket by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, here to escort you through the weekend. Actually, it's my honor and privilege to do so. Speaking of honors, they've rolled my way this year. It really has been something. Listen, I got a note from my boss, which essentially said, hey, Art, it really is your year. You've been nominated for the National Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago. And that really is an honor. And so there you have it. I'm honored. That doesn't mean I'm in the National Radio Hall of Fame. It means I'm nominated to be in it. And I guess the voting occurs sometime later in the year, and then you're inducted or not inducted or whatever happens. So just being nominated, from my point of view, is an extreme honor, a very extreme honor. The webcam tonight, if you go to coasttocoastam.com, upper left-hand side, Art's webcam is me. And that was taken just a few hours ago. And by the way, for those of you wondering, there's no more wondering about a baby day. Asia Rain Bell will be here June 1st, right around noontime. So don't expect me on that weekend. I will be busy. So that's actually Friday, June 1st, just about noontime. All right, looking at the normally depressing, never disappointing from that point of view, world news. President Bush on Saturday said Iran's capture of 15 British sailors and Marines was, quote, inexcusable, and called for Iran to give back the hostages immediately and unconditionally. Bush said Iran plucked the sailors out of Iraqi waters. Iran's president said Saturday they were in Iranian waters and called Britain and its allies, that would be us, arrogant and selfish for not apologizing for trespassing. There'll be more news on Iran here in a moment. The UN, U.S. rather, military death toll in March, the first full month of the security crackdown, was nearly twice that of the Iraqi army. Now, that's pretty worrisome, considering this crackdown is supposed to be the Iraqis cracking down, and we had double their fatalities. The Iraqis suffered 44, we suffered 81. It just keeps going up. Residents of 200 homes were ordered to evacuate Saturday. All the news covered it as wildfires burned out of control in hills and canyons east of Los Angeles, got very near the Hollywood sign. The fire burned about 1,400 acres or 2.1 square miles and had burned a shed and the roof off a house in the area where residents were being evacuated. In Atlanta, Georgia, three people were shot during an attempted robbery at a shopping mall Saturday. One person critically wounded. Authorities were still piecing together what happened, but said the shootings happened around 5:15 in the afternoon at a store at Greenbrier Mall. One of the injured people was a security guard. What in the world ever happened to robberies where people didn't get shot and now it's multiple people? So that's kind of a good little test of and taste of how the news can be depressing. There just is not good news reported, and that worries me because, as you know, I've done a lot of work in consciousness, and I'm very, very concerned that we are feeding a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, or at least I'm not saying we are, and I'm not ruling it in or out, but I'm a little concerned about it. Oh, just one more little item, and this is all over the net. So I have no way of knowing if it's true, but it's worrisome. Russian military intelligence services are reporting a flurry of activity by U.S. armed forces near Iran's border. The latest military intelligence data, now this is from Russia, bear it in mind, point to heightened U.S. military preparations for both an air and ground operation against Iran. Adding the Pentagon has probably not yet made a final decision as to when any attack would be launched, according to one unnamed official. He said the Pentagon is looking for a way to deliver a strike against Iran that would enable the Americans to bring the country to its knees at minimal cost. He also said the U.S. naval presence in the Persian Gulf has, for the first time in the past 4 years, reached the level that existed shortly before the invasion of Iraq in March of 2003. Colonel General Leonid Ishevov, Vice President of the Academy of Geopolitical Sciences, said last week, the Pentagon is planning to deliver a massive airstrike on Iran's military infrastructure in the near future. A new U.S. carrier battle group has been dispatched to the Gulf, the USS John C. Stennis. A crew of 3,200, around 80 fixed-wing aircraft, including F/A-18 Hornets and Super Hornet fighter bombers, 8 support ships, 4 nuclear submarines, all headed for the Gulf, where a similar group led by the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower has been deployed since December of 2006. The U.S. is also sending Patriot anti-missile systems to the region. So that, if true, is certainly a worrisome sign. In a moment, as Paul would say, the rest of the news. Well, all right, this, as the news people say, just in. A key element of the second major report on climate change, which is being released Friday in Belgium, is a chart that maps out the effects of global warming, most of them bad, with every degree of temperature rise. There is one bright spot. Minimal heat rise means more food production in northern regions of the world. However, number of species going extinct will rise with the heat, as does a number of people who may starve or face water shortages or floods. According to projections in the draft obtained by the Associated Press, some scientists are calling this degree-by-degree projection a highway to extinction. It's likely to be the source of sharp closed-door debate, say some scientists, along with a multitude of other issues in the 20-chapter draft report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. You're going to hear a lot about this coming up. While the wording of the draft is almost guaranteed to change at this week's meeting in Brussels, several scientists say the focus won't. The final document will be the product of a UN network of 2,000 scientists as authors and reviewers, along with representatives of more than 120 governments worldwide. As last-minute editors, it'll be the second volume of a 4-volume authoritative assessment of Earth's climate being released this year. The last such effort was in 2001. Andrew Weaver, a climate scientist with the University of Victoria in BC, said the chart of results from various temperature levels is, quote, a highway to extinction, but on this highway there are many turnoffs. This is showing you where the road is heading. The road is heading toward extinction. Weaver is one of the lead authors of the first report issued in February. Talked a lot about that. While humanity will survive, he says, hundreds of millions, maybe billions of people may not, according to the chart, if the worst scenarios happen. The worst stuff, quoting here, the worst stuff is not going to happen because we can't be that stupid. That's a direct quote from Harvard University oceanographer James McCarthy, who was a top author of the 2001 version of the report. Quote, not that I think the projections are not that good, but because we can't be that stupid. End quote. I wonder if he's right. Is that true? We just cannot be that stupid. More than three-quarters of the dangerous particulate pollution known as black carbon that blows through the West Coast in the spring comes from Asian sources. China's new industrialization movement burns a whole lot of coal. Now, that coal, rather. It means we won't be able to clean up our pollution until we get China to clean up its act. Oh, good luck. Although the transported black carbon, most of which is soot, is an extremely small component of air pollution, although we've seen it here on the West Coast, at land surface levels, the phenomena has a significant heating effect on the atmosphere. However, it also dims the surface of the ocean by absorbing solar radiation. That's a primary concern we have with these aerosols. They can really affect the global climate. Still worried about the bees, big time. State agricultural officials say a mystery disorder that's killed off half the commercial bees in some parts of the country is now in Arizona. It's also now in Oregon. It's called colony collapse, and it was in virtually every state of the Union, except for a few, and now those few are beginning to go. Here in Nevada, we are one of the last, I guess, to still have bees, last I heard, but state by state, we're beginning to lose them altogether, and I wonder what it means. Losing our bees. What would it mean if we lost our bees? I would like somebody to write a good piece on exactly what it would mean if we really lost all of our honeybees. Once that was a very, very far-fetched possibility indeed. But now we have them dying off. We don't have little bee bodies anywhere to dissect. They simply are gone. It's like they're abducted or something. Now, I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I'll say it again now. I've never been fully clear on what's in so-called chemtrails. But has anybody out there, anybody, put together chemtrails on the one hand and bee death or disappearance or whatever's happened to them on the other hand? Entire colonies collapsing. Well, okay. If they all had dropped dead, little bee legs in the air and all that, that'd be one thing, but they're just disappearing, and I don't see how that can happen. We literally can't find any to dissect of those that have might have died. We don't really have a body to prove anything at all. Chemtrails, bees, chemtrails. All right, in a moment, we're going to take unscreened open line calls. Now, what I've got to sort of pass on to you here is when you answer the phone, when I answer the phone, and you realize I have answered the phone, turn your radio down right away. Otherwise, you'll be confused hearing yourself many seconds later. And it is very confusing, actually. And so you'll sound confused on the radio, and you don't want that. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. If you're a first-time caller, we love those. Area code 818-501-4721. The wildcard line. Actually, that sounds singular, but we have many. Area code 818-501-4109. And finally, internationally, yes, there is a way, and it's free wherever you are in the world. 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. Let us begin. Wes Knoll, first time caller line. You are on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Scott from Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've been thinking about these bees.
Yes.
And isn't it pretty clear that what we've got is the bee rapture?
It's kind of like that, isn't it?
Yes, they've just disappeared. Maybe it's another sign of end times,
maybe
at least for bees.
Actually, if something like this occurred back, say, in the days of the Roman Empire, I'll bet you they would call it some sort of miracle, some sort of warning, some sort of, well, as you put it, sign of the end times.
Yes. Well, thanks, Art. I love the show.
You're very welcome. Thank you. I hadn't thought of it that way. That is to say, as part of the end times. But if you look at what the scientists are saying, I guess it could be. We couldn't possibly be that stupid, right? Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hi there.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
Very well, sir. Where are you?
In Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just calling just to see how things are going, I guess. I've been listening for a while, and I love the show, of course. Who wouldn't? But on the bee thing, I'd heard a little bit of Linda Moulton Howe's.
Yes.
Linda Moulton Howe's and the systemic pesticides.
Yes. Well, there are all kinds of people out there, sir, that are sort of projecting possibilities, you know, that it might be a sort of a soup of pesticides or something like that. But seems to me that wouldn't cause the bees to, as the last caller said, kind of be raptured away. It might cause them to be dead, but then we ought to find a whole lot of bee bodies somewhere, right?
Yeah, and there's none of those, are there?
No. It's like they've been abducted or raptured.
Yeah, that's very bizarre. Another thing people might look into is the Oklahoma City bombing. I think that's still been unresolved. Well, I guess, of course, how it may relate to the 9/11 information, but
I'm not sure what connection I see there. One was entirely domestic, the other not. Both involved buildings. I guess I could give you that. Other than that, I don't think there's a connection. Yeah, the bee thing is worrisome, but it kind of goes along with all the other news we're getting, the environmental news. It's getting very serious. It really is getting very serious. Could we possibly be that stupid? In other words, as the signs continue to mount, at what point will the consciousness of the world's people, not just us, the world's people, say, hey, something's wrong. I'm Art Bell. Ah, indeed, here I am. Marissa from Rio Del, California. A million other people keep asking me, so I will repeat it once anyway here. This pizza topping that I've been talking about is available at, here's the website, artbellspizzapunch.com. That's Art Bell's, plural, ArtBellsPizzaPunch.com. Pizza Punch, something... Ramona and myself, mostly Ramona, actually, discovered, my gosh, is it a decade ago now? I think a decade ago, and made promises about a decade ago, and now a decade later, here it finally is. Just amazing. All right, we're going to continue with unscreened open lines in a moment. Well, all right, to the phones we go as promised. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Howdy.
Hi.
Hi there.
Real quick, are you familiar with who Chuck Schramick was, a AM news guy in Houston?
He was. Well, of course I'm familiar with Chuck Schramick, late Chuck Schramick. He's the one who really began all the talk about Hale Bopp.
In the chemtrails and all, I thought it was kind of strange. I live in the area, so I would listen to him every day, and towards the last 2 weeks he was on the air, the other DJs were saying, oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. He ended up getting sick. And then 2 weeks later, wow, he kicked the bucket. I just thought that was rather odd how that all went down myself.
Well, it was odd. You're right. And I'm not implying that there was anything untoward about his passing, but... Yeah, he was very much ahead of his time in a lot of ways, and that does tend to happen to people who get ahead of their time with something or another, or at least it seems to. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about there's a CliffordCarnicom.com that gives you all the information on the...
Okay, sir, I can't allow you to give a website on the air.
Oh, okay. There's
an obvious reason for that, and I'll be glad to explain it to you, but talk generally about the subject.
Can I tell you what I found out so far?
About?
The chemtrails.
Sure.
They're supposedly contractors for the government that are spraying some stuff, pesticides and herbicides. Uh-huh. And they have a cocktail of viruses and bacteria that are also spraying.
Look, all of this is, speculation. And so I'm glad I didn't allow you to give that website on the air. The reason we don't let people give websites on the air is because we had an instance once of what sounded like a very innocent website having a element of pornography to it. So we just, play it safe and don't allow websites to be given out anymore. Again, because we can't know the truth, except a story from the Idaho Observer, which I read a couple of weeks ago, that actually had the breakdown of the things found in chemtrail material, which was disgusting, all kinds of awful things. Once again, and it's utter speculation. I'm the one saying it. I'm saying chemtrails, bees. Bees, chemtrails. Not saying the bees are gone because of the chemtrails. I'm just speculating. That's all. Two things that we cannot solve. Right? First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, I was calling about the bee issue you were talking about.
Yes, ma'am. Where are you?
I'm in California.
Okay.
And I don't know anything personally about the bees, but I subscribe to a paper that's called the Valley Voice that's from the Central Valley. It's out of Visalia.
I thought you were going to tell me it was a Sacramento bee. Sorry.
No. That'd be cute. No. But there was an article in the February 21st paper, and it's called Mysterious Bee Deaths Strike the Central Valley.
Right.
And there's two different people that feel that it has to do with a pesticide that's being used.
Right.
And they talk about the fact that a similar thing happened in France in, I don't know, 2001, 2003, something like that. And that Bayer, the company that did the product, the pesticide thing.
See, this is all speculation because I don't really know. It's not nailed down yet. So there's everybody's speculating. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And so if that's all that they're saying, that the people, Bayer would not admit that they were responsible, but they did pay the French when their bee industry collapsed because of the use of that pesticide, which they then took off the market. Anyway, I was just going to let you know that that's an article that's there that has some information about the problem. But I don't personally know anything about the bees.
Well, here's the thing that gets me is that they're just gone. They're not finding bee bodies. It's not like, if it was something like a pesticide, then you'd find bees with their little bee legs in the air, the dead, right? I mean, we're talking about a majority of bees in a majority of the United States. That would be, I don't know how many millions or billions of bees, but so many that surely you would find bee bodies. But like the earlier caller said, it's like they've been raptured or something. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, this is Treetop calling you again.
Treetop, yes.
Yes, sir. I want to tell you a story one time. It's not a real strange story except for one thing about it. I was hauling gas in Alabama back in 2004 this happened. An old boy had a bad run of luck anyway. I rolled up on this accident, and I seen a corpse over in the breakdown lane, and I seen a tanker truck up ahead, and I was the first vehicle that came up on it. And I didn't know what had happened, but I stopped in front of the other truck and walked back to the guy in the tanker truck, and he was looking straight ahead. The truck was out of Texas. And I stepped up on the step, and the guy looked down at me, and he was an elderly black man driving the truck, and his eyes were, his pupil and all were ice blue. And he looked down at me, he never said a word, and it freaked me out. And I just I went and called 911 and got my truck and left. I didn't know what to think about those eyes, but what had happened, the boy that was on the side of the road, it ran out in front of the truck and caught his head.
Oh, my God.
And just took his head off, you know. And I read about it in the newspaper later, but, you know, I didn't witness it, so.
Right. Well, at least you called 911. And I'm sure truckers run into this kind of thing all the time. No pun intended. They're on the road, so many hours a day, sometimes with teams. And so they're going to run into all kinds of accidents. And I think a lot of highway accidents get called in by truckers. They've got the communication. No matter what you may hear about Citizens Band, and I know it's ridiculed in amateur radio circles a lot, I'll tell you something, and this is a big admission, but if I were out on the highway and I needed help, I would much more likely get it with Citizens Band than I would ham radio. And the reason for that is that virtually every truck out there has CB in it. And it's right there on the highway. It's a short-range communication medium that's been unfortunately populated by some undesirable people. Nevertheless, plenty of good people there, too. I shouldn't say just undesirable people. Plenty of good people there, too. But the fact of the matter is, you can get help there faster than you get it anywhere else. And so if you're on the highway a lot, it would you'd do very well to reach into the past. And people think it's only in the past. It's not. CB Radio is alive and well today. And you'll get help that way. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right, sir. Where are you?
Right now I'm in Kissimmee, Florida.
Okay. Fire away, you're on the air.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to tell you, I was listening to the show last night, and there was a caller that called in and was talking about some reptilian race of people.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I had never been interested in UFOs or basically the supernatural, but I lived in an area in California called Concow, California, and anyway, there was some strange activity going on, and I seen what looked like a UFO, and then, the next day, I was in my backyard looking at my horses. They were acting rather peculiar, and there in the wooded area behind my house, I seen this, this creature that looked about 7 foot tall. And I had to shake my head because I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Did this creature look reptilian to you?
Yeah. I looked at it, and the head looked similar, you know, kind of football-shaped-like.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like it was actually going, translucent or transparent.
Seen a translucent... scaly-looking, football-headed thing, you've got to become a believer or adjust dosages of whatever you're taking.
No, let me tell you what happened.
Please.
So I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm just seeing an outline or something through the trees because, you know, it just went away. Well, I was going to school at the time, and the teacher there, we started talking about, UFOs. He brought up the subject, and I had never been on the internet, but I told him that I thought I had seen something one time, and he says, well, describe what you've seen. And I told him what I'm telling you.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time here, sir.
Okay, so he pulled it up on the website, and it was exactly what I had described to him.
A reptilian.
Yeah, and it was called reptilian is what they call him.
Okay, well, now, how can you not believe once you've seen with your own eyes?
I do believe because I've been researching it and watching for 10 years and videotaping.
Yes.
And I do have videotape of UFO activity in that area.
The answer is you do believe. And there's nothing like seeing something with your own eyes. As a song said, don't let anybody tell you what you haven't seen, and they will try. Believe me, they will try. Any excuse, you know, you had a little too much of this or that, as I sort of jokingly mentioned to him, or anything else they might suggest. You know, the moon was bright, the moon was full, you had an illusion. Anything except you saw something from somewhere else. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello, this is John from New York.
Yes, John.
Okay, so I have a question. Why you and your former wife, when the UFO flew over, I don't know exactly the exact where you were, but I think it was your house. Why didn't you or your wife grab a camera, try to get
No, sir. We were on the way back. If you remember the story, we were on the way back from Las Vegas. We were about, I can estimate for you, about a quarter or a half mile away from our home when we stopped the car and saw it. So we were in a vehicle, pulled over to the side of the road. We were not at home. Otherwise, I promise you, okay, I would have been running for a camera.
Okay, I just have one more quick question here.
Sure.
I called on prediction night. That was the one that told you UFOs are probably, you know, going to double, not double, but actually triple. Don't you think right now that
ding, ding,
it's
ding,
much happening?
Yes, sir.
Don't you think it's pretty much happening now or happened already?
Yes. The answer is yes. You're going to get a ding next year.
Oh, there we go. I like
or the end, actually, the end of this year. Yeah, you'll definitely get a ding from that one. We are in the middle of a huge worldwide UFO flap. No question about it. Landings in Somalia, Iran, sightings virtually everywhere. You bet we're in the middle of a big flap, so you'll get a ding on that one. I can virtually promise. International line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hello.
Is this our bill?
It is. Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, okay, turn off. This is Chanel Monroe calling from Boise, Idaho. And I've gotten through to you once before 10 years ago. I'm Kenneth.
Okay, well, listen, hon, you're on my international line.
I know. I called the wrong number. Am I going to get in trouble?
No, you can't. You're not going to get in trouble.
Right,
no, you're not going to get in trouble, but you're also, unfortunately, going to have to call the right number. I'm sorry, but that is for people outside the country, and I'm not exactly sure how you even got in on that line, to be honest. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Ward. How you doing tonight?
I'm well, sir.
All right, I want to tell you something that happened here about a little over a year ago. My mother and I were driving home. It was in the summertime. We were heading east, and the moon, you know, you can see the moon as it's coming up, and the sun was behind us. Excuse me. My mother said, "Paul, what is that?" And I said, "Well, Mother, it's the moon." And she said, "Oh." She said, "That reminds me of something that I saw when I was a little girl." And my mother at the time was 81. And I said, "Well, what was that?" And she said, "I was outside playing, and at the time they lived in Hobart, Oklahoma." And she said, "I saw this light. And it was coming across the field. And I asked my mom and dad, I said, what is that?" And she said, they said, "Well, honey, I don't know." And we're driving along, and she said under her breath, "You know, that thing was triangle-shaped." And I said, "Mother, how come you have never said anything about that before?" And she says, "Well, I don't know. I've never thought of it until I saw that moon in the sky." And I thought, you know, that was so weird, because, Art, that would have had to been in 1929 or 1930.
Yes, very interesting, because, of course, I've had a very, very close encounter with a triangle. We've had a gazillion triangle reports from all over the world, but these have all been more or less modern, and that would have been at a time when there could not possibly have been a secret U.S. or any other country program flying a triangle that did not use conventional propulsion and flew in ways that aircraft can't fly. So, yes, that would have been well before it was remotely possible it could have been something else that we always try to put it off on. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art. Yeah, a little bit of speculation on the bee situation.
Yes, sir.
Since the introduction of genetically modified crops,
uh-huh.
is it possible that
there's
genetically modified pollen and it doesn't agree with the bees?
Yes, of course. All of these things are possibilities, yes.
Well, that's about it.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, all speculation in this area is welcome. That's all it is. And that's all mine was, is speculation. I thought about the chemtrails, thought about all the terrible things that were in the chemtrails the Idaho Observer reported on. And then I thought about the bees. And I, you know, there's a million other things. Sure, genetically modified crops could be. Stuff from the sky, various chemicals that we, you know, put on crops trying to get better and more prolific crops. Sure, any of it could be the cause. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, hey, Art, I might have another piece to your puzzle for the bees.
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is Lady of Kinnick. I'm actually a female. I've talked to
okay.
you before, a long time.
Oh, sorry about that.
I remember back in 2003 when that shuttle broke up coming over California.
Of course, yeah. Well, actually, I think the major breakup was Texas, but yes, okay.
Okay, but it broke up coming in over California,
starting,
and then it dumped
right.
in Texas.
Right, right.
That time in 2003, I called you. I was down in Pensacola, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And when that shuttle went and broke up, like, the next day, there was, like, this pollen-looking stuff all over the garbage cans, all the way down to Pensacola. And it was all over the chairs and everything. And my neighbors were saying it looked like pollen. And I'm saying, no, we're just coming out of winter. Nothing's bloomed. And what was weird about this stuff was where it had rain that night, where you got to have dust to have rain, and every little raindrop had its own little speck of this yellow powder stuff.
There's been a lot of that going on.
And it rained that night, and this stuff, it's like it hated water.
I got it. Listen, I'm sorry. I've got to break it off. It's the end of the hour, but I'm with you all the way. We're all speculating, but it's something.